all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you. That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. 1-800-330-9999. You can always chime in, fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. If you decide to fire 3,500 of your employees via Zoom, that's all I need to know about you.
Hmm.
That happened to Uber over the last 48 hours.
Well, the Uber drivers.
No, it's actually not the Uber drivers.
No, who is it?
It's the Uber customer service reps. It's
okay.
Like, it's everybody that works the behind the scenes. For the most part, the drivers.
Infrastructure, basically.
Yeah,
logistics.
The drivers are really haven't been.
And it's up to them,
this.
Right? Well, I mean, if they're working at all.
Right. Well, that's the truth, because Uber, the workload is down 50%. People aren't using the rideshare. And this is a snippet from it. And when I heard it, at first I was like, these jerks, who uses Zoom to fire people? And then I felt bad because I listened to this.
Today will be your last working day. We had to do this in a way that allowed us to tell you as quickly as possible so that you did not hear it from the rumor mill. I know that this is incredibly hard to hear. No one wants to be on a call like this.
I felt so bad for this lady. This lady is the head of customer service, and like, she drew the short stick. And I feel for her because one of my girlfriends is an HR person.
Sure.
So she's been dealing with this every day,
right.
You know, laying people off. And she comes home, she cries.
Yeah.
So I feel like this stinks.
Listen, it stinks. It sucks for everybody. Like she said, nobody wants to be the person that's letting everybody go, and nobody wants to lose their job. At the same time, like, the numbers are the numbers. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie, right? So if the numbers aren't there and the money isn't there, this is like a shareholder meeting. Like, you do it digitally right now, right?
Listen, men lie, women lie.
That's right.
Are you crazy?
Numbers don't lie. Jay-Z and 50 Cent. They say that all the time.
Oh, man.
It's true.
I do think they probably could have come up with a better way, because I think, like, you told to log on to a Zoom. You hear somebody in the background.
How do you do that,
crying,
though?
The dogs barking.
Yeah, but what's the better way? Give me any other way that you think is better, because you can't get all these people in one place, and you can't do a conference call. At least you're seeing a human being face-to-face,
I think it's a phone call. It's a lot of people that have to make those phone calls, or I think it's an email.
3,400 phone calls at once.
Yeah.
Because everybody puts a text or puts something on social media, and then it's not fair to somebody else who's notified last.
I think it is. I think an email is probably the right way to go. When we got furloughed from my gym, we got an email.
But
we
you
didn't
think
get
an email
call.
Is better than a Zoom call?
Yeah.
That where you're all at once.
I think it's very distracting to be on a Zoom call. I wouldn't want to get fired that way.
Well, pay attention. You're getting fired one way or the other.
Meanwhile, your kid's crying in the back. Johnny's got his screen with weird beach background.
No human being with an email. I have to disagree with you.
No.
There's no easy way to get fired. There's no good way to get fired.
I don't know if it's Zoom, though. That's all I need to know about you.
Yeah. Well, the world's changing, right? If you fight and fight and fight and fight with the customer, that's all I need to know about you. We took some damage during that storm that was like 3 weeks ago with like the 70-mile-per-hour winds and all that stuff.
Mm.
And, man, we have had contractor after contractor over the house, adjuster after adjuster. And I don't know why, but this adjuster is so nasty. He asks for something, it's provided. He asks for something else, it's provided. Assessor comes back out, it's provided. And yet, still, there's an argument, and he's just rude.
You should just fire him on Zoom.
I would love to
fire
him.
That's what you should do.
We're attempting to do that next.
1-800-330-9999 if you want to fill in the blank, too. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. You might need a reservation for the beach this summer, which is weird if you think about it, but the reality of now. It's Anna and Raven. In Spain, you now have to reserve your spots at the beach. There used to be 10,000 spots. Well, you know, in theory, 10,000 spots.
Yeah.
Now there's only going to be 5,000. They're going to use, like, nets that are going to space out everybody.
Oh, mesh nets?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. The mesh bathing suit is back, finally, since 1988. I've been waiting.
Except it's stretched on the sand, so you don't, you know, you can keep your social distance from the people next to you. You can reserve your spot. You have to choose morning or afternoon. You can't have both.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. I hadn't heard that part.
And you can reserve your spot via an app on your phone.
You know what? On the surface, some parts of this seem pretty... First and foremost, I mean, when you see the pictures of European beaches... The fact is that there's just so many people. I mean, literally, all the towels are touching each other.
Mm-hmm.
People are right on top of each other. And obviously, for health reasons, that's not a great idea.
Right.
So a reservation might be great if you're a resident there. Here, while the beaches get full up and all that type of thing, like, there's a whole part of going to the beach finding your spot, and then I don't know anybody that stays for just a couple hours, man. I can't deal with those type of people.
Oh, I'm those kind of people.
Are you serious?
Oh, I can't. I go to the beach 2 hours max, and I'm done. Get me out of here.
Who are you?
Well, you know.
That's crazy.
You have to remember, I live in a beach town,
what
too.
What is it? You get too hot? Well, if you can get in and out.
Right, that's me.
I guess that makes it easier.
I live 6 minutes from the beach.
Yeah, well, that makes it easier. Right, because then you know what the timelines are and the access is going to be. I mean, I live 45 minutes from the beach, so like I go, it's a day excursion.
Yeah, no, get out of here with that. Plus, it's hot, sandy. I love this idea.
Hot and sandy.
Yeah, like, get out of here.
Yes, that's what you went there for.
Yeah.
And don't tell me it's the beautiful water at your local beach that you went for.
Well, you know, listen, so the beaches can be beautiful. Let's not put them down. Let's not put them down.
All right.
But that being said, what if you had to pay for these reserve spots? Would that change matters? Because I'm 100% for this. You reserve your spot. You show up. It's there waiting for you. You don't have to worry about people being on top of you. I don't know. I think it's not the worst idea.
Well, listen, I mean, there's nothing worse when you go to the beach and somebody has mapped out an area around them and they have no legal right to do that. And so immediately that person becomes the enemy. And then, you know, people are running all over your stuff. So the space on the surface sounds great. Here's the thing. You're already paying for parking, right? You're already paying taxes in this area. You're already paying those different things. So when you go to the beach, it kind of feels just like, oh, well, here's another thing. And any system that goes in place, somebody will be able to manipulate it. Like, what happens if you're the person that you can't get a reservation for the beach?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, you always have to go. We'd go to a campsite, or we used to go to a campsite that was state run, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So every year they would open that up 11 months and 2 weeks prior to the reservation. And if you weren't there like that day, you were not getting these ideal sites. And I think about like a single parent who's just struggling, or somebody who's just like trying to balance all those things, and you're going to remember to make your beach reservation?
I mean, yes.
And then you don't know if the weather's going to be good.
Well.
What happens?
All right. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Reserving your spot on the beach. Yay or nay? What do you think about reserving your spot on the beach? Because that might be a reality, Santa and Raven.
Mm.
So this is happening in Spain right now, but not a bad idea. I kind of like the idea a little bit. You have to reserve a spot through an app on your phone, and the whole beach, which is usually 10,000, it can do 10,000 groups of people,
supposedly,
has now been cut in half to 5,000. And they're mapping out these mesh 6 kind of foot squares so that there's a lot of social distancing between each other. But you have to reserve for either morning or afternoon. You can't get both. There's restrictions on it. I don't know. I think it's a good way to be able to still enjoy the beach while, you know, staying away from your neighbors and not getting sick.
Great, I think, if you're the person that has access to the app, that got in early enough, that was able to reserve your spot or whatever. I don't like the idea that they're doing a morning shift and an afternoon shift. I'm an all-day beach guy, as I've told you before. But, if you're the person that just woke up that day and it's nice and you decide you're going to take the family to the beach or whatever,
nope.
Like, you're not, it's not happening.
Right.
And I don't dig that. Now, here's the thing. I'll tell you where I do like reserved beach seating. That's sandals, girlfriend. Woo!
Well,
the butler goes down and he gets your cabana ready to go and all that. That's different.
I don't think that's going to happen at, like, Jones Beach.
There's nothing worse than having to wake up at 6 a.m. when you're on vacation and go throw your towel over a chair.
Right.
And this just reminds me of that.
But
that's the thing that scares me.
An added luxury. This is going to be the way we have to live to get through the pandemic.
You know who's going to get these seats? Hackers.
Okay.
All right? You know who's going to get these seats? Russia.
All
Russia's
right.
going to end up with these seats.
Well, if you see a lot of Russian
China.
People at the beach, you know what happened.
They're going to get the seats.
We asked on our Facebook page, what do you think about this, having to reserve a spot at the beach for the summer? Kathy wrote, she loves the idea. It would be nice if you could also stay at a hotel and they have Chase lounges spread out in those spots away from each other.
Again,
that's not bad.
That's sandals.
That's
sandals.
Now everybody wants an all-inclusive.
Right.
Right.
When you're going to your local beach.
Right. Troy wrote, if you just don't shave your back, skip the workout, and strap on a Speedo, every spot is a reserve spot.
It's like he's been to the beach with me before.
Yep. 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What do you think about paying to go to the beach, reserving a spot?
Absolutely. Oh, I mean, going to the beach is such a nightmare anyway, because you try to pick out that one spot that's not completely crowded, that's decent, and then somebody sets up, like, you know, a foot away from you. You know, I would totally reserve my spot if I could.
Yeah.
It's true. No matter how close you're willing to get to the water, if you're not actually in the spot where you'll be in at high tide, somebody's going to park in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
They do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Drives me crazy.
Right. Thank you for the call.
And Ann Raven, what do you think about beach seating?
Beach seating? I just don't think it's a good idea to have any reserved spots. It's just another way for people to have to pay tax to the city they're in. And then we start paying tax on reserved spots on the beach. It's like, you're just going to get taxed on it.
It's just some
plan to get more money out of us.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that the biggest problem is that what happens is as demand is there, because people are going to want these spots.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And obviously, once you mark out the spots, there's only so many spots.
Right.
So then prices have to go up to get the spots, right? And then, you know, either way, you're leaving dissatisfied.
Well, it's
prices
also,
never go down either. That's the thing.
But maybe not. Maybe not. Like, think about the new movie theaters now with the seats where you claim your seat, you reserve your seat. In my mind, it's the exact same thing. You're reserving your spot, but if you come late to the game, you're going to be next to the parking lot.
No, but the
if
problem
you're
first
is thing
that
first,
the problem is there's only so much beach. That's the problem.
Well, there's only so many movie seats in a movie theater. It's the exact same thing.
Right, but you can go to another theater. If you live anywhere around here,
you really can't
go to another beach.
You got to go to another beach. You got to find another beach.
There's people there, too.
Well, keep going. Keep moving.
Yeah, that's
people
how
people are going to be scalping their spots.
That's how people end up in North Carolina.
Right.
What's going on there?
Just keep going south.
Right. Just keep going.
It's an interesting time we live in, because basically all of our emotions can be shared via emoji.
Mm.
Right? Did you see on Facebook, it's Anna and Raven, that they added the hug.
The care.
Yeah.
The care button. Yeah.
If you haven't seen it yet, instead of like liking something or loving something or whatever, there's now the little yellow person and they're hugging a heart.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's cool. I needed something kind of in between, right? Because love, you want to give people the love, but you don't want to just love everything. Some things you want to be like, you know what? I'm lukewarm to it. You give it the like. Or you're like, you know what? I'm dating it, but I'm not quite ready to marry it yet. That kind of thing. Something between the like and the heart.
So you think the hug is it? I think the hug is. I haven't given anybody a hug yet.
No?
I'm withholding it.
You're
I feel
so
like
cold.
That's only for the most important thing.
No.
Yes.
Because people are struggling right now so much. And so this is the hug is kind of like, hey, bro.
Mm.
Hey, girl. Let me put my arm around you, girl. Let's be friends.
Well, speaking of emojis,
you are not alone.
Okay.
That's what it means.
No, it's no. I'm holding my hug. But speaking of emojis and using these emoticons to basically show our feelings, they released some new updates on what emojis people are using the most.
Okay.
And you might be surprised.
I'm guessing the sweating guy or the eyeballs, the crazy one.
What's the sweating guy?
Oh, they got like the one piece. It's like not a tear because it's over their hairline. It's up here. It's
who uses
down.
That one?
Just saying.
Nobody uses the sweating
if
emoji.
If somebody's stressed out, again, you're lashing out. Try and be understanding of people.
I mean, do you use that one?
I've never used that one with me. I've used it before in my life.
Mm.
I have.
Well, turns out that the new number one, I thought for sure it was going to be like the mask, the one wearing the mask. It's not. It's the prayer hands. It's up 25% more in April than it was last August.
To me, I think that's a high five. I've always thought that's a high five.
What are you talking about? That's prayer hands.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I see it as a high five.
Guess what's down?
What?
The airplane and the baseball.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I guess that does make sense.
Sad.
Can we do emoji time machine?
No, let's go. Let's look at our emojis.
Yeah, I always like to do that. Emoji time machine. You just go back and you see what I'm doing.
What are your last four most used emojis according to your iPhone?
I've got the thumbs up.
Me too. I have that too.
I've got the face with the hearts.
Oh, I don't have that.
I've got the googly eyes, the one where he's like, like kind of crazy. He's like sideways crazy.
I hate that one. I don't like that
one. And then I've got a hammer. So it looks like that face has actually been hitting the hammer. And that person isn't just making a weird face. Like, they probably need medical attention.
Wait a minute.
Right behind it, though.
What?
Stressed eyes. There's my stressed eyes right there. You see it?
Oh.
And then here I am. I'm high-fiving somebody. They must have thought I was praying. That's so awkward.
People thought you were praying and you thought you were high-fiving?
Dude, I'll come over and help you move this next week when we can be 6 feet apart from each other. All right, high five. Instead, they think I'm praying to them.
Right.
Oh, please
come
over.
I really need you to come over.
Please.
Mine are more normal. I don't like the crazy eye one. For some reason, that one bothers me. I feel like no one should ever use that one. My top are the heart, the red heart. I use red hearts for everything, which is weird because I'm not like a super warm and fuzzy person.
I think you've demonstrated that.
What? The second is the laughing with the tears, because all my friends do is send me memes all day long.
Yeah.
They must be bored, so I just send that back because I don't know what I'm supposed to say. This one's funnier than the last 12 you sent me this hour.
Yeah.
And then thumbs up. Yep.
Which Keep is another, it positive, pal.
Good job. Yep.
I also have a unicorn and a steak on here.
Who are you sending a unicorn to? Calling all valedictorians. We're looking for you. It's Anna and Raven. We want to hear your speeches. We try to figure out how we could help the class of 2020 since they're not going to be able to do the big graduation ceremony. And we figured the best way to do that was to give you the only thing that we could give you, and that's our microphones.
Yeah, I don't have a jet or a flying team, a squadron or anything like that. So
nope.
I can't do a flyover. A DJ party out in your front yard would be weird considering that nobody could dance with each other.
Right.
So turns out this is the best platform that we have here.
Right. And we just got a couple emails yesterday starting to book our valedictorians because they're being notified this week
yeah.
that it's them.
Well,
so that's
exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
Right.
So if you are one or you know somebody, one of your friends is one, and you want them to be recognized, tell them to go to annaandraven.com and we'll be able to get their info and we'll get them on the air. But Raven, clearly you were never a valedictorian of anything.
Wow. Seriously?
You weren't.
I
were you?
I mean, I've been an MVP. I've been a winner many times.
Did you ever come in first in your class?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I wasn't. No.
Right.
Not
so
in
you've
school.
Never been a valedictorian.
But I've been the MVP in other things. You could be the valedictorian in something else. I mean, when you said that was really mean.
Not really.
Were you the valedictorian?
No.
Well, I didn't point it out to you yesterday before you gave your speech.
So if you had the opportunity right now to give your speech, you're so mad.
What a jerk you are. I'm so mad at you.
It's true. Go ahead. Give me your speech that you would give if you ever were valedictorian, which, again, you have not ever been.
Wow, how many of us thought we wouldn't get here, right? 4 years have come and gone, and as we enter this uncertain world, ready to go after our dreams, solve the world's next crisis, or become the first YouTuber to have a trillion followers, let's look back on all the great times we shared together. Like, who can forget that time Ferris borrowed Cameron's dad's Ferrari and ended up down a cliff in the woods? Or that time we all got detention on a Saturday and had to write a paper together.
What?
Or when Danny and Sandy fell in love that summer and then drove a car through the air at the senior carnival last year.
Okay.
Amazing, really, when you think about it.
Uh-huh.
In closing, remember, classmates, it's never too late to decide to be an astronaut. Don't lose your inner dinosaur. And if you ain't first, you're last. Thunderous applause.
I mean, did you...
So great!
Was your high school graduation in the middle of an 80s movie?
I mean, I wish it was.
Yeah.
Because I would have been so good at it.
Right. You would have been valedictorian of it.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, head to annonraven.com. Let us know about your valedictorian so we can get them on the air. AP exams are happening this week. And they're being done online at home.
Okay. That's a big test, right? The AP exam is a big test.
Yeah. And it's for really smart kids, so I never took them before, so I don't really know much about them.
Perfect.
I'm learning as we go.
Me neither. We're even. Okay, good.
It's Anna and Raven. But because they're being taken at home, it leads to more cheating than ever, according to research. And 70% of students, 70%,
wow,
admitted to some level of cheating when they have to do online tests.
Now, it's cool if you Google stuff during Can't Beat Raven, but this is a little bit different.
Well, actually, that's where it gets a little bit tricky.
Okay.
Because you can Google. The AP exams are an open book, open notebook test, from what I understand.
Okay.
So it's not technically cheating to be able to look at these resources.
Go to your research, that type of thing, your notes, whatever.
Right. But what is cheating is that if you have somebody very smart standing next to you.
Yeah.
That tells you what to write, because the way that it's timed, it makes it almost really hard to like try to find the answer. It's more like reaction and essays and things like that, from
okay,
what I understand. It's
right,
very,
right, right,
very gray. But they're putting a lot of restrictions in place that if you do get caught cheating, like this.
Your free responses this year are going to be sent through plagiarism detection software. If you and six other people submit the same essay or parts of essays and responses, it could set off the plagiarism detection software.
So you all can't be sitting in a room yelling at each other what to write, because
there's like a billion people in the U.S., right? I mean, there's like 700 million people in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
If five other people write something similar to you.
But if it's the same wording. I remember from when I was a high school teacher and this was still being kind of new technology.
Right.
It's crazy. It highlights it. I remember this from 15 years ago.
Sure.
And I would be able to click on their paper and it would bring me to the website where they stole it from.
This seems like it's the Patriot Act. Yeah. This all came from the Patriot Act right there.
People are very confused about what cheating on the AP exams are about because there's a lot of gray area there.
Right. I mean, if you can use research and stuff like that, that just confuses me. Okay. All right. So you write something the same ways. You know what? I don't know if it's really cheating. That's all I'm saying. I'm not sure if it's really cheating.
If somebody's standing next to you and telling you what to write?
If you could have got the information from some other source, maybe this is your smart friend that travels with you everywhere you go. So that's your source. That's your Google. They're just going to stay with you all the time. Maybe one of those weirdos that brings your best friend to work with you with that?
It's plagiarism.
Let me give you some examples here. You tell me whether or not you consider these cheating, okay?
Okay.
Refilling sips at the fountain soda machine. So you go, you fill it, and then it's foamy. So you... Then you refill it again.
Okay.
And then you...
That's not cheating.
And then
cheating.
You refill it one more time.
That's not cheating. But what is cheating is if you take the water cup that's there for the water.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you can't put soda in there.
No, that's dirty.
That's cheating.
That's dirty.
Cheating.
You can't do that.
Okay.
What, you feel the same way if you're walking out of the place and you refill before you walk out? As long as you paid for it, you're good?
Yeah, I think that they know that.
Right? All right. Taking a handful of Monster Trail mix from the pantry whenever your spouse exits the room.
That's not cheating.
It's got the M&Ms in there. It's got the peanut butter chips in there. You just...
You're not.
But you don't let them see it.
Nobody's getting hurt except your arteries.
And if they walk back in the room, you stop chewing.
Well.
And if they ask you a question, you have to walk out of the room before you answer so that they won't know that you snuck it.
That's lying, not cheating.
Okay, good.
Uh-huh.
Splitting up to cover two lanes at the checkout counter only to dump the slower one when your partner beats you to the cashier.
Also not cheating. That's fair game. And I do that often at Costco.
Oh, you are that person?
I'm that person. Not only is it me, I put me in a line, I put my husband in a line, and I put my 11-year-old daughter, Hayden, in a line.
I despise you.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's
a race. A race to the front.
That is horrific.
Right.
Oh, man.
Would you ever get into a ring with Mike Tyson?
No. Would anybody?
It's Anna and Raven. A video surfaced of Mike Tyson, who's now 53 years old, and he's training for what it looks like to be his return to boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what the training sounded like. It's intense. I don't know if you can hear that at the end. Hold on. Let me do it one more time. But he says one thing into the camera that starts all kinds of speculation. Ready? He says, I'm back.
Right.
Which is ironically exactly what Evander Holyfield said in his comeback video last week that he dropped, saying that he's gotten back into boxing too.
Yeah, well, it's amazing. You know, I mean, staying in shape, obviously, these guys are fighters. So they're going to continue to work out as fighters the rest of their life. But Mike Tyson, obviously, he's bottomed out about three times before and come back. And this is the best that he's looked in a long time.
I mean, it's crazy when you look at him. It's like prime fighting.
Yeah.
And then Holyfield was asked this.
It seems for you, though, if all things work out from both sides, that you would definitely be open to an exhibition fight with Iron Mike.
Well, yeah. My own thing is that I'm like that with anybody, really.
We're going to see Evander Holyfield.
He says, I'll fight anybody.
I'll fight anybody. And Mike Tyson. Remember, Holyfield beat him.
Leo. Well, right.
And he also ate his ear.
Right. So Mike Tyson was you know, part of the downward spiral at that point. He was not being coached. He was not being properly managed and so forth. And they've made up. Like, they were on Oprah. They hugged and they're friends now and that type of thing. Evander Holyfield is a good man for the most part. He's led a very good life. And Mike Tyson has had a lot more problems and tribulations. But Evander Holyfield has been there for him since they made up or whatever. To see them fight again.
Would you fight either of them?
No. No way. Mike Tyson is a puncher, though. Like, he's a guy that knocks somebody out in the first 3 to 5 rounds, typically. And Evander Holyfield has shown time and time again, he's one of those guys that goes 12, 15 rounds, he can do it.
All right, you won't fight Evander Holyfield or Mike Tyson.
I would rather get hit by a car than hit by Mike Tyson.
But if you were in a fight with...
Remember, only you can prevent forest fires.
Smokey the Bear, who wins, you or Smokey the Bear?
Me. Me.
Why?
Because I'm
bigger
brutal
than you.
I have rage. You can look at people's size. You can look at their, you know, their whatever, their background, right? First off, he ain't been trained. He's just been fat, walking around in khakis and that hat and telling people to put out fires and not mess with matches.
He looks like somebody that would mess you up, honestly.
I think you're wrong.
You know who I think would definitely beat you in a fight?
Who else do you have?
Let's rock.
Al Bundy. Al Bundy, I think he forgot, from Married with Children, he used to beat people up all the time. Yeah, I would like to see him take you down.
Do you remember the fact that every time Al Bundy tried to relive his glory years, he was once again sacked before the goal line?
No,
he would hardly ever make it.
Well, right. That was the football, though, but he fought everybody. You got too close to Kelly.
Who else you got? I'll knock somebody out. Who else you got?
You going
to
fight this guy?
Obi-Wan has taught you well.
Of course not. That's my dad.
Oh, Darth Vader's your father, yeah. So you can't fight your dad?
My dad, too.
So who are you going to fight first, Mike Tyson or Darth Vader? That's your choices.
I want Yogi Bear because I think he's the slouch
Smokey
out of all of
Smokey the Bear. Yogi the Bear is easy to take down. Smokey the Bear, he's legit. Yogi the Bear is cute and cuddly. Smokey the Bear, he's going to throw something at you.
Well, see, that's where you surprise him, right? You take out the cute and cuddly one first, and then you go for the knees of the big one.
It's ridiculous. Three things you need to know this morning. It's Anna and Raven. Let's start with, as predicted, Dr. Fauci at a congressional hearing, he warned that opening the economy too soon is going to be really, really bad. But the drama that went down was really the interesting part.
Mm.
This is Senator Paul Rand questioning him and said this.
And as much as I respect you, Dr. Fauci, I don't think you're the end all. I don't think you're the one person that gets to make a decision. But there are people on the other side saying there's not going to be a surge and that we can safely open the economy in the...
He said, you ain't the end-all and be-all of science.
And that's why his neighbor knocked him off that lawnmower that time, I'm guessing.
But wait a minute. It gets so much better because I'm like, what's Dr. Fauci do? Now, this is like a Zoom because, remember, Dr. Fauci is in, like, modified quarantine.
He's in modified quarantine.
So I'm watching this, and I'm listening, but I can't stop staring at his house because he's got...
You want to learn about him.
Yeah, because I'm fascinated. Like, to see into somebody's home like that,
right?
He has so many books. But not just, like, books on a bookshelf, like you see these fake anchors.
Right.
That
other
have, like,
books,
yeah,
just stacked.
Just
places.
Stacked all around the house.
Right.
Like, you know he reads a lot,
right.
You know?
Or he's got a long list of things he needs to read.
Right.
And he just hasn't been able to get to them the last 50 years because he's been doing doctoring stuff.
They looked real. They looked like he was reading them. Anyway, so he responds because he's like, I ain't backing down. And he says this.
First of all, Senator Paul, thank you for your comments. I have never made myself out to be the end-all and only voice in this. I'm a scientist, a physician, and a public health official. I give advice according to the best scientific evidence.
Oh, he just slammed the door on Rand Paul.
I'm a scientist.
He slammed the door on him.
I'm a scientist. How
good
cool.
For him.
I want to be able to say I'm a scientist.
Yeah, but you're not. That requires schooling and many, many, many books. You can stack the books around you, but that doesn't make you a scientist.
Second thing you need to know, Facebook and Google announced earlier this week that they're going to allow employees to work at home for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But Twitter, they one-upped them, and they said their employees could work from home.
Forever.
But also trending that goes hand in hand with that is that a lot more companies are now able to monitor how you're working from home.
What? I don't want Big Brother in my business.
Oh, yeah. How do they do it?
There's some systems that allow the employer to watch you at any moment. There's some systems that are more innocent, that just give a log. You know, Nick spent 1 hour on Twitter. And there's some that constantly photograph your screen, create a rolling video of what you're doing at every point.
There's even one that...
So basically, your boss is now also Alexa.
Right.
Because Alexa does all that already in my house.
Yeah, but can you imagine that your boss can literally see every stroke that you take on your computer and like read every single thing that you write?
They've been able to do that for years remotely. Like, you've ever had somebody work on your computer when they're not there?
Oh, yeah,
like,
all the time.
Right.
They just like,
because
we don't
know how to work on it.
We don't know what we're doing.
Let them do it.
Yeah, so there's that. And the third thing you need to know this hour, the future of our world is being held by llamas. Researchers from the U.S., Belgium, and Germany agree that llamas have something extra that humans don't have, and that's antibodies. Here they are explaining.
Those llama antibodies, their binding entity is much smaller and much more stable.
They have super COVID antibodies, double what we have.
Okay. I mean, I loved llamas before.
But now you really love llamas.
Right.
Yeah, and there's a lot more tests that are being conducted. I'm just curious, like, who's like, hey, you know what? Let's test the llamas.
Test the llama. They're throwing anything they can at it.
I guess.
Right.
But because llamas have become, like, all this hype right now that they may be the cure for the COVID.
Oh, you got to protect llamas now.
Yeah, and it started a big problem.
We have had rather silly people, in my opinion, who phoned up and asked, can they come and take blood from the llama to drink it?
Yep.
But no, we're not going to let people drink their blood.
Don't drink the llama blood. Not yet.
I'm going to agree with that opinion, sir. Protect your llamas, please.
And
do
their blood.
Well.
Right. It's the bright side, the good things that are happening in your community. You could always share by calling 1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven. University of Hartford Hart School is famous for having some of the world's best musicians.
Hart School of Music.
Hart School of Music.
Come on, lady. Get it right.
Yeah, they are famous all over the world. They send people here to learn how to play these master instruments.
Sure.
But there was a big problem when everyone went on lockdown.
Yeah, when this first started happening, of course, like all the pianists were kind of freaking out because, you know, we can't really do our classwork or do our practicing if we don't have a piano, which most people don't.
Right, because when you come from all over the world, you don't travel around with your piano.
Oh, just carry that thing.
Right.
No problem. Give it to the sky cap at the airport. You could trust them with that.
So what did they do? They rehomed 21 pianos. They managed to get
it's
a
really
moving
amazing,
company and
right?
get it to the students. It's incredible,
I mean,
if you think about it.
You really do have to think of it. Not only is it incredibly difficult to move a piano, but pianos are worth a lot of money. Like,
yeah.
It's not something that you just, you know, you send out the door and hope for the best that it's going to come back in these uncertain times. It's really quite incredible.
Here's the school's dean.
When I asked, I said, you know, I think we can do this because we were loaning quite a bit of a property out there. Everybody was so willing. It was a real team effort for the whole school.
That's nice.
I've partied on that campus. Okay. Go, you Hart.
All right. another bright side story. Sadly, children have been suffering from this Kawasaki-like inflammatory
disease.
Scary. It is so scary. I don't even like to talk about it, you know, with my young girls.
That's what Anna does when she's scared of something. She doesn't talk about it until after.
Right.
She takes weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of you for talking about it because it is scary. And it just shows you there's so many things we don't know so far.
Right. But here's the good news. And I'm hoping this isn't one of those things that they change their mind in 3 days.
Okay.
But that if it's caught quickly enough, that it can be treated. And that was certainly the case with an 8-year-old boy that was treated at Cohen's Children's Hospital. He had the virus, they think, in late April, but it was just fever and diarrhea, and it was treated by his pediatrician. But then he woke up one morning, and he couldn't breathe.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
So he yelled for his mom. His brother came in. His brother's 15 years old, gave him CPR that he learned by being a Boy Scout. By being a Boy Scout. How great is that? And Jaden suffered inflammation to his heart. And it led to cardiac arrest.
So scary.
He was put into ICU, and here's the good news, the bright side. He is okay, and he went home yesterday.
Wow.
Here's his father.
I couldn't wait for this day because we didn't expect this to happen. We always see a strong, healthy, energetic young man.
Sure.
And then we end up in this situation here. Our home become complete having him home because he is the energy of our home.
Absolutely.
Terrifying. A young child to have a heart attack is just terrifying.
Well, the thing with this the whole time is that the saving grace for me has been like, okay, the kids are relatively okay from this. It's all right. And
sure.
They still are. I know that you have to look at the numbers.
Percentages-wise, right.
But
it's just...
Nobody wants this right now.
There's work to be done, people. Yep. Luckily, mm-hmm. This is a good situation.
Yep.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what's wrong, and then you judge who's right. Ben and Lydia. Ben, we're going to start with you. What's going on?
I'm essentially just ratting my girlfriend out. She works an essential job. You know, she's working for the government, and I'm very proud of her for doing it. But she's taking home toilet paper and wipes and hand sanitizer and paper towel. And I'm just thinking she's going to get fired for it, but she's not listening to me. So I'm just saying, like, what am I supposed to even do in this situation, you know?
Tell everybody. That's what you should do.
Number one, I would have stayed off the radio. Number two, I wouldn't post about it on Facebook. That would be my thing. But, I mean, is it really the moral conundrum? You feel like it bothers you because, okay.
I feel like I'm watching TV and I'm seeing all these mm-hmm. people struggling, saying that they're having a hard time getting these things.
Right.
And at the other side of it, I'm just like looking at it just kind of being stockpiled over here. And I'm just like, this is so wrong.
Yeah,
and we don't need as much as it seems. So.
Well, Lydia, what's your side of this?
First of all, I'm not the first person to ever take home stuff from work. And mm-hmm. frankly, nobody is there. Nobody else would know. Nobody's using this stuff. And like you said, it's hard to get it. I mean, if I'm considered essential and I have to be there, I feel like this is maybe perhaps just like the one perk I can have. I mean, it's obnoxious that, you know, that I'm not getting some sort of compensation for even having to turn up in a time like this, you know?
Well, your paycheck.
Right.
That
I
would
mean,
be this, your compensation.
The exact same reason that you were supposed to show up before the pandemic happened. But, okay. I mean,
I understand.
Right. You feel like you're putting yourself out there.
Right.
And if you can't...
No hazard pay. There's no other considerations being given. You know, I am basically just protecting myself because I don't trust, you know, that this workplace has taken, you know, all the precautions.
Anna,
okay?
I want you to imagine for a moment, Anna, me explaining to our boss that...
You took all the Clorox wipes?
No, that if I could not wipe my butt, I could not come to work. So that's why I stole the toilet paper from the supply closet.
Lydia, is it like a roll of toilet paper because you don't have any at home? Or are you taking like...
Six out a week.
A box.
You're not going to the store anymore because you've got enough.
I'm just keeping us insulated because I can't find Eddie in the stores, you know? Mm. Just want to make sure that we're covered. I mean, there's still plenty of stuff left at work.
All right. Well, why don't we just ask our audience what they think. And they may agree with you, Lydia. Few things here or there. What is it going to hurt? But they may see Ben's side, too, where you're going to get fired.
I'm going to take this speaker home today.
Yeah.
Speaker over here. We don't need this speaker.
We've been talking about it, but people are stealing stuff from our studio, our Purell.
It's true.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for you.
Right. All right. Do you guys both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
Yes, sure.
Ben, if the audience agrees with you, Lydia, that's enough. No more. Okay? Got it?
Okay.
Call or text. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Ben reached out to us because his wife, Lydia, is an essential employee in a government office. And she takes toilet paper, Lysol wipes, Purell. She just takes them home as she sees fit when she needs them because she says she can't find them anywhere else. And if she's going to be an essential employee, then they pretty much, quote unquote, owe it to her.
I mean, there's all sorts of types of essential employees out there right now. Mm. And not everybody's getting a bonus. And not everybody should. Not everybody is entitled to something extra for doing what they're already doing.
But Ben said that she needs to stop because she's going to get fired. She said, no one's going to fire me over a roll or two of toilet paper. 1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the guy's side. I don't know. Taking even toilet paper from work could get you fired. You know, I got caught taking from work a while ago, and that was the end of it for me, and it wasn't even much. So, I don't know. I don't think it's worth the risk, especially in these times.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, when somebody feels like they're in a desperate situation, they might move quickly and think it's no big deal, but then you realize when you're terminated, it's a big deal.
Yeah, whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Lydia says that her husband's right. She does. She takes toilet paper. She takes Clorox wipes. She takes Purell when she needs it from her workplace. She says she's an essential employee. She works for the government. And it's pretty much, quote unquote, owed to her because she's got to be there. And she's having a hard time fighting these things.
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, it sounds like he's at home during this time. He could go out and find him. He doesn't sound like there's any desperation in him whatsoever. I understand that some people want to stockpile, but at somebody else's expense, that's not really cool.
What do you think? It's Couples Court with Anna and Raven. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on?
Oh, I am definitely with the wife on this one. Tell the husband to lighten up, and if she's discreet, so be it. The husband needs to just look the other way.
What's the last thing that you stole from your job? I need to know now. Now I need to know.
No, I'm not a snitch, and you're never going to get it from me.
You stole something yesterday. You stole something yesterday, you law-breaking...
I did not.
You stole the company van? Right. You didn't think anybody would notice?
He's in the van right now.
You're in the van?
Are you on a private island right now?
I'm in the van right now.
Are you spending the other employees' retirement funds, embezzling their 401k right at this moment?
Listen, it's easy for us to point fingers, but there's a lot of people that think the way he thinks. Let's not be ignorant. Thank you for the call.
I just want some of that money. I didn't steal it. Give me some.
Do you want the van?
I do want the van. I do. And Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
Definitely the husband's side. I was in a similar situation, and I simply asked the person in charge of ordering if I could purchase it because I didn't have time to go to the store, and I was told, just go take it. But at least I asked and offered to pay for it.
Yeah, I think the big thing, too, is mistrust. If you can't trust the people that are working for you in your building, then that's a big problem.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on this morning?
Hi, I'm on the husband's side. I think it's just an integrity issue, and, like, I'm currently on my way to work for an essential job. I am spending the next 12 hours of my day dealing with COVID patients, and we have closets full of toilet paper and Clorox wipes and cleaners, and I'm not going to come home with it, even though I don't have time to go shopping for it either necessarily, just because it's not mine to take. It belongs to the company. And they're stockpiling us for use at work while we're at our jobs. But just like everybody else in the country that's an essential employee, we still should be responsible to go buy our own.
Thank you. Thank you for all your work, too. Thank you very much.
Best of luck today. Stay safe.
I've always been floored by the fact that people take things from work, even outside of pandemic times. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, that people steal toilet paper and they just take that stuff. I just don't understand why you would think that that's okay.
When people are desperate, then I'm never shocked or surprised by the things that they do. But she doesn't sound desperate, and he never implies that they're desperate.
Right. She sounds entitled. That's what she sounds like. Mm.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Ben, our audience agreed with you. Lydia, it's bad karma, and you don't want any of that, and it's just not fair. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. I can take a hit. I'll cool it.
In all likelihood, you're not going to need a gross of Kleenex that you have out in your garage right now for a very, very, very long time. So you'll probably be feeling the effects of the items that you got to insulate yourselves already for a while. So just enjoy that and the fact that you got away with it. And that's it. Behave yourself.
Okay. All right.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Beat Raven in pop culture trivia and win. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, it's Lisa.
Lisa, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, will you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Lisa.
All right. Raven's walking out of here. When that big old studio door closes, he won't be able to hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. I'll invite him back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you can beat him, I'm going to give you a $100 gift card to Dunkin'. You ready?
Yep.
Number one, Harry Winkler recently exposed some on-set drama with the producers of Happy Days. Which character known for jumping the shark and kickstarting a jukebox did he play on Happy Days?
Fonzie.
Number two, Maria Shriver says she doesn't want to be called grandma after her daughter, Katherine Schwarzenegger, gives birth. Which actor known for starring in Parks and Rec and Guardians of the Galaxy is Katherine Schwarzenegger married to?
Katherine Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Winkler.
Steve Carell.
Number three, Sarah Michelle Gellar was seen wearing the prom dress from the show she starred in as a teenage vampire hunter. What was that show called?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Number four, Bryan Adams is being criticized after he blamed his canceled shows on people that were eating bats. His song, Everything I Do, I Do It For You, was from what Kevin Costner movie?
Oh, boy. The Bodyguard.
And number five, Mike Tyson announced his return to boxing in a crazy training video. What Nintendo video game released in 1987 was put out with his likeness?
Oh, my God. Mike Tyson Nintendo video. Oh, boy. All I know is the Super Mario Brothers.
That's all right, Lisa. All we ask is that you try. Let me bring Raven back in. Raven!
Yo!
All right, so Lisa got 2 out of 5, okay?
Woo! Thank you, Lisa. Let's see how I do.
Some of these are tricky. Number one, Harry Winkler recently exposed some on-set drama that he had with the producers of Happy Days. What character was he known for jumping the shark, kickstarting a jukebox? What did he play on Happy Days?
I mean, he's the Fonz. Come on.
He's the Fonz, yep. Number two, Maria Shriver says she doesn't want to be called grandma after her daughter Katherine Schwarzenegger gives birth. Which actor known for starring in Parks and Rec and Guardians of the Galaxy is she married to?
Chris Pratt.
That's right. You guys are tied at 2. Number three, Sarah Michelle Gellar was seen wearing the prom dress from the show she starred in as a teenage vampire hunter. What was that show called?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Love Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yes.
She is one of the early best at playing a real... She wasn't
vampire.
Nice. In a lot of movies, vampire. She was not nice. Cruel Intentions,
was a good movie.
Such a great movie.
Number four, Bryan Adams, please don't sing whatever you do. You know you're not allowed to sing.
All right, stop it.
Bryan Adams is being criticized after he blamed his canceled shows on people that eat bats.
Cuts like a knife.
His song, Everything I Do It For You, was from what Kevin Costner movie?
Come on, Robin Hood.
How did you know that?
Because I love Bryan Adams. I loved Bryan Adams before that song was a hit.
Oh, you loved so Bryan Adams hits first.
When it was Cutting Like a Knife, when it was Heaven, when it was the summer of 69, I was there.
You're Bryan Adams'
biggest
fan.
The first Canadian I ever liked.
Congratulations. Number five, Mike Tyson announced his return to boxing in a crazy training video. What Nintendo video game released in 1987 was put out with his likeness?
Punch Out. Come on.
I don't know. I thought these questions were tricky today, Lisa. He got all five.
That was my wheelhouse right there.
But Lisa, what I can do is get you your own Anna and Raven t-shirt.
That would be great. It's Lisa, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thank you for playing, Lisa. Hold on so we can get all your info, okay? Make sure you're listening to the Cheat Sheet today in the 5 o'clock hour. The first two answers to tomorrow's five pop culture questions.